Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein. I'm delighted to be joined by Sven Freudenfeld, Business Development of Telecom and Cloud Infrastructure at Kontron. Welcome, Sven.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Sven, why don't we just start with a definition of Kontron and where you guys are aiming your products in the marketplace?
So, Kontron is a publicly traded company headquartered in Germany with approximately 1,500 employees worldwide. We have multiple vertical markets that we're covering. We are a premier partner of Intel. So most of our product lines are based on Intel technology, building solutions for specific vertical applications. My focus is primarily on telecom and the cloud infrastructure. And we're building optimized platforms for deployment in network architectures, cloud computing, but also in the telecom space.
What it sounds like is you span data center and telecom.
Correct.
Network transformation is going on in both of those spaces. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about how Kontron plays within that transformation and how it varies between the telecom arena and the enterprise data center?
Yeah, so on the network function virtualization, which is pure telecom, it's really taking one network function and virtualize it on standard hardware, traditional legacy session border controller, media gateways, and so on, which typically contain a lot of other functions than x86. For example, FPGA, DSPs in the past, these are the traditional legacy platforms in the telecom network. Now, moving some of the use cases into a data center environment, per se, has a couple of challenges. For example, if I'm providing a session border controller to the market and it's DSP-based, how do I virtualize my DSP functions in a virtual environment? So there's a couple of challenges moving or virtualize some of the network functions into a data center environment. Now, the data center itself, for the enterprise side, it's purely Xeon class 1U, 2U platforms. Redundancy is not as critical as in telecom. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the functions are just enterprise oriented for database applications, for big data analytics from the data center, but not so much in the voice, video, and other spaces.
When you look at the challenges facing the telco arena in particular, are there any areas that you think are going to be faster movers in terms of deployment because those use cases may be lower hurdles to actually deliver solutions?
Yeah, so there's a couple of aspects on that. One of them is the control aspect. A lot of traditional telecom applications are owned by the carriers, and they don't want to give up the control on that. For example, packet data gateway is usually containing deep packet inspection, network processing functions, and so on. And there's a couple of security concerns if you give it to a third party. So this was probably one of the last ones moving into a virtual environment. The easy ones moving to a virtual environment are most likely the messaging applications, unified communications in the cloud, as well as some of the applications for the media space. We're talking about media transcoding. Mm-hmm. So virtualizing setup boxes, for example, in the broadcasting space, is one way of addressing the market by reducing the cost to launch new services to the end user.
Video is consuming a majority of the network bandwidth around the world. Where do you see the opportunity there, and what is Kontron's role within that space?
Traditional video processing was done on FPGA base and ASIC and DSP and what have you. Now what you see, the broadcasting cable operators try to capture the market from the mobile space, and the mobile operator try to capture from the broadcasting space. So therefore, you need to have a scalable network infrastructure where you can manage and provision on the fly. And in order to do that, you need to have an architecture to allocate resources dynamically. And you cannot do that if you have DSPs in your network or purpose-built components in your network, what you cannot manage. Mm-hmm. So working with Intel for the last 2 or 3 years, what Intel realized, the graphic engine what they built in is scalable enough to do media processing for video and audio at the same time.
Nice.
So now we can actually manage that resource as a virtual resource for media processing, and I can dynamically repurpose my hardware based on my peak requirements or demand on hardware resources. And I can eliminate the DSP functions or the DSP in total, and I'm able to repurpose everything for audio transcoding in the platform without having waste hardware resources I cannot use for any other purpose.
What has the provider response been to this technology?
So Intel created a software team which created a media SDK to utilize the graphic engine. And in the beginning, a lot of end customers and customers who build platforms are kind of very conservative. We're not willing to take a risk or take the approach to move it over to the Intel architecture. It has been proven over the last 2 years that the software has been so stabilized, we went into a live deployment very rapidly.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the solutions that you're delivering in this space and, you know, what kind of features these particular products have?
High-dense platform. So we're utilizing the traditional, they call it the mobile class CPU, so the i7, and we package 18 into a small footprint in a 2U form factor, combining switching, graphic engines, or GPU, CPU, and storage into a small footprint in a modular approach. So we keep high availability, what is needed for the telco space.
Mm-hmm.
We maintain a high density platform, and we're combining different functions. With OpenStack and with cloud orchestration, we can actually dynamically repurpose the resources without the need of changing hardware.
When it comes to the integration of graphic functions, what benefit does that drive to get to the levels of density that you just talked about?
The initial challenge was to have all the elements from a software perspective running. So that was really the Intel Media SDK team who worked on that, to get to a density level which is acceptable, as mm-hmm. well a quality level which is acceptable. So in the broadcasting space, if you look at already moving towards 4K and so on,
mm-hmm.
on the over-the-top providers such as Liberty Global, it's the channel density which is very important. How many channels I can provide in a given platform architecture. So we were able to provide up to 180 concurrent channels in a 2U form factor, by only utilizing the GPU, so we still have enough resources available on the CPU, so we can do other functions. So for IPTV, for an example, or for over-the-top services, usually you have other functions in the network, like electronic programming guide, advertising, and billing, DRM servers, and so on. So you can utilize the same platform for multiple functions as you need it.
What do you think is the breakthrough moment that we're looking for from the industry, not only in realizing that this is the trend that's happening in developing products for virtual environments, but also in realizing that sometimes we need to take a new approach to architect the solutions based on the technology we're using?
The point is to simplify the network rather than make it more complicated. So the infrastructure piece by using cloud orchestration, OpenStack, cross data center provisioning and so on, it's a starting point in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But as you already indicated, it's not going to be happening overnight. So it's one function after another until we have the right technology available in order to address that. The Etsy organization is looking at different use cases. Media processing is one of them. But I don't think we have covered all the specific use cases needed for a network transformation. One aspect what I haven't brought up yet is a new market trend for IoT. Network function virtualization and IoT is pretty much going hand in hand. But what will be the business model in that case? Will the carrier like a Verizon or an AT&T really provide services for IoT, or is it a third party? So what we're hearing in the market is that most likely some of the services for IoT will be more on a MVNO level, because they will provide big data analytics as a service, device management as a service. They will cover some of the aspect in terms of security, and they will pretty much become just a bulk customer for the carriers.
If folks want to find out more about Contron and the products that you guys are offering, where can they go for more information?
Contron.com, very straightforward. You will see you have different vertical markets, transportation, industrial automation, where we cover medical applications and so on. I think that's the first step to get in contact with Contron.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you.